We have been exercising the family law, the life, truth, and love portions of the law of universal reflection. We have taken an element of mind, an element of spirit, one of soul, one of principle, and brought it through the fourfold activity of the fatherhooding, the sonshipping, and the motherhooding of the idea. And I would love to take examples from life and truth and love, but we can't if we're to finish the material. But please do it yourself. Provide yourself with life. Claim that life. Accept that life. Provide yourself with uniqueness and individuality, and claim it and accept it, and provide the universe with that, and let it claim it and accept it. Provide and claim and accept the truth for yourself and for the universe. Provide and claim and accept divine consciousness for yourself and for the universe. Provide yourself with love and claim that love and accept that love. Divine motherhood, the divine self-containment. Give unto yourself that kind of motherhood. Transform yourself from physical mother to moral mother to spiritual mother, and give unto yourself that divine motherhood, that claim that motherhood, accept that motherhood, not only for yourself, but for the whole universe. Everyone, really, if they were honest, is seeking peace, is seeking rest. They don't know how to come by it. We are so fortunate. Do we begin to believe what we've touched? Is it just an intellectual activity that we've touched, or do we really trust that this is real? Do we really trust that there is a law going on in being, a law of universal reflection, which is functioning this way? If we trust this law, if we continually exercise this law, you'll be at peace. And so will the universe. Because love, in its spiritual connotation, is the answer. The counterfeit of love is annihilation. Right? So if you wish, quote unquote, to work for the world, this is it, the law of universal reflection. Provide and claim and accept the qualities of the infinite being for yourself and for every other aspect that exists in the universe. And don't accept anything less. You will bless the world, and the world will bless you. On every level, on every dimension. Do it. It's your universe. It's the one you will experience. If I'm in that place and I'm conscious of that place, my universe will be a divine universe. I will see the unity of divine ideas reflecting everywhere within me and around me, so to speak. You can too. There's nothing more important. Nothing. Yes? All right. I would like to go on to the next page, which you will recognize as the law of eternalization and the law of universal reflection, both on one page. So what we're going to do is not really different than what we've done already, except that I'm going to point out to you the interdependence of those two laws. We're on the, there were three large sheets of paper, and we're on the middle one, which says Christianity at the top, Absolute Christian Science / Christian Science, The Law of Eternalization, and halfway down the page it says The Law of Universal Reflection. Okay? All right. All I'm going to do here is show you, and I have already a little bit, the interdependence of these two laws, so that you won't be able to say, well, how come I have the power to do this when it's really the divine that has the power to do this? Well, you're right. It's the divine that has the power to do this. I do it only by virtue of reflection and by virtue of the fact that I am contained within that divine idea that being has objectified, right? So in the absolute, we saw that being was giving forth its divinity to its idea, which really means that it's just objectifying itself as idea and nurturing and holding and accepting that objectivity of its own being and never losing any facet of it. All right? Let's do that as an exercise along with the exercise that we just did in the Law of Universal Reflection, and you'll see that it just flows back and forth so normally, so naturally. Since we haven't done very much with the term life, and I hope it won't be confusing because of the different usages of the term life, let's do an example from the term life, but let's be very clear what we're doing. All we're doing is focusing in on the life aspect of the infinite being. As we did before, saying that the mind of that being gave unto its idea intelligence, we are now going to see that the life of that idea is giving unto its idea its existence. Right? So the life of being is giving unto its objectification existence. It is giving unto its idea its existence. And by virtue of the fact that the idea is contained within that and functions like unto its creator, it too, therefore, has the capability of giving unto itself existence. Yes? So it's only by virtue of reflection that it can do this. I'm thinking here, I have to tell you, whether I'm going to include and incorporate both of the last pages at one fell swoop, or whether I'm going to do them independently of one another. I think I'll just try to do this simply, and then I'll give you another view from the other. That probably would be less confusing. All right. So we have here, then I will repeat, life giving unto its idea existence, thereby a facet of that idea giving unto itself existence and giving unto every other facet existence, and every other facet or idea giving unto itself existence, and giving unto every other facet existence, acknowledging that existence, accepting that existence, because the divine motherhood has accepted its existence as idea. Yes? Very simple. Yeah. And very logical. So all I'm doing now is, instead of presenting the Law of Eternalization and its exercise separately, and the Law of Universal Reflection and its exercise separately, I'm showing you how they really relate one to the other in a very normal, natural way, and how they not only relate intellectually, but how you can flow it as an exercise one to the other. Because, you know, it always comes up when you're flowing, why do I have the power to do this? I have the power to do this because God gives me the power to do this, because I am like unto God in what it is I am, but only by virtue of reflection, which is why Jesus could say, the Father doeth the work, but could also say, I and my Father are one. I'm not outside of the Father. I'm the idea of that Father. I'm one with that Father. I'm the objectified view of that Father. Not outside of it, but the divine principle doeth the work. It's the activator. It's that within that actually does the work. I do it by virtue of reflection, which I'll word in a different way later. Okay? Yeah. So is that then clear? All right. Let's take one more example. I have to ask how much tape we have left altogether. We're going to take another example of this law of interdependence in Christianity. Let's take an example from love. Let's see that divine love is providing its idea with peace. Divine love really is providing its idea with its own integrated being. And because that love facet of being is providing its idea with what it is, because it is providing it with its own unified, integrated being, as a divine reflected idea, as a facet of that infinite idea, I can and do provide myself with that unity, with that integrated being, thereby with peace. If everything is integrated, it cannot be disintegrated. If everything is integrated and unified, there is nothing amiss going on. It's at peace. Peace is obviously the way I feel it, the way I experience it, the way I look at it. Because it is giving unto its idea, thereby unto me, its integrated nature, right? Its unified being, its purpose. I thereby can give unto myself that integrated being, that unity with the whole, that purpose, and can acknowledge for myself that integrated being, that unity, that purpose. I can acknowledge love's purpose for myself, my own specific place in the sun, my own specific purpose within the whole. It gives me my purpose, and I can provide myself with that purpose and acknowledge that purpose and accept that purpose, because divine love has ever accepted the purposefulness of my individualized being, as well as the individualized being of all the other facets of its universe. Have I followed the pattern closely enough for you to follow the flow? Okay. Can you see that if every day of your life you are forever recognizing the divine parenthood of your own being, you are forever recognizing that that divine parent is giving unto you that which it is, and thereby you can give unto yourself that which you really are, and give unto the rest of the universe that which it really is, and acknowledge that and accept that, how altered your universe will have to be. It's a promise. It's a promise. It will alter faster than touching anything else I can think of, because we all deal in relationships every day. And if we are not giving unto those relationships full value, if we are not acknowledging their full estate, if we are not accepting them as they really are in being, we are inadvertently robbing, denying, starving ourselves and the universe of that which it really is. No wonder we're ready to blow each other up. So silly. Now, turn to the last page. I would like to do a flow for you of this Christianity vertical, a recap, as it were, of all that we've done today, and yet not the same, because I'm going to take just a slightly different perspective from which to view it. But it is the same. And it's just, every time we view it from a slightly different perspective, it becomes fuller and more meaningful and more real, and we can relate to it better, and it's less outside of ourselves. Because really what we want is not just to intellectually understand these laws, the laws in the Christianity vertical, the laws of the whole model of being. What we really want to be is to be at one with the law, to move into the law, to feel the law, to identify with the law until we are the law. We are just a functioning law. We just can't move unless we're moving in law. We are the qualities of law. We function in accordance with law. Fini. Nothing more. Nothing less. So now I'm going to flow again the Christianity vertical, slightly different perspective. And also just to give you a feeling of the whole vertical, the whole vertical. So as we're coming down, we remember then in Christianity, that it represents the divine object, the divine objective self-containment of being, holding and comprising all within itself. Remember, we said being as mother, capital M, in a state of all embracedness, containing its entire object, its entire idea, within the womb or matrix of its own being. Right? So it's really the 7x7 matrix appearing in all, in everything. And that being, as a divine parent, is eternalizing and preserving its own objective state, the idea of its own being. In its fatherhood capacity, it is eternally maintaining and sustaining, conserving, feeding, upholding, and providing for its idea. And in its motherhood capacity, it is continually embracing and containing and accepting and nurturing and protecting and caring for its idea. It is really the divine matrix of being, objectifying as a divine holograph. That's the first time today that I have mentioned that term, and I will try to explain the term a little bit for those of you who are not familiar with the term, but not explain it in such detail that we lose the flow of what we're doing. The holograph was discovered by a gentleman by the name of Denis Gabor way back, I believe, in 1947. And it was a mathematical principle that he discovered of holography, a discovery that would later earn him a Nobel Prize. But the demonstration of holography had to wait until the invention of the laser, which didn't come until many years later. Holography itself is a method of lensless photography in which the wave field of light scattered by an object is recorded on a plate as an interference pattern. When the photographic record, the hologram, is placed in a coherent light beam like a laser, the original wave pattern is regenerated and a three-dimensional image appears. One of the unique attributes of this hologram is that any place of the hologram will reconstruct the entire pattern. And that's because each facet of that holographic so-called picture contains the program of the whole within itself. Thereby, if any facet were so-called eliminated, or one would attempt to eliminate a facet of that, it would automatically reproduce itself because every other facet contains the program of the whole within itself and would automatically reflect back that missing so-called facet. You can see why the other sciences have started picking up that holographic symbol and utilizing it to explain their own research, which has become more and more holographic. For example, Carl Prebram at Stanford, who's a brain researcher, has theorized and has quite a bit of proof that the human brain is holographic and that information is not just stored in one sector of the brain, but is stored in every facet of the brain. Therefore, if one were to suffer brain damage, another factor, another place in the brain could take over the function because all the other factors of the brain could reprogram it since they too store the information. Not perhaps in a major focus, but they have the information. Therefore, he has come up with the theory, and it has been substantiated in part, that the brain is holographic. For our purposes, it is just interesting to note that, but it is more interesting to recognize that the sciences with a small s are really just beginning to recognize the love, the universal reflection that is and has always been going on in being. They are really just beginning to touch in to the divine holograph, but they are all doing it through their own individual research. And because they are open, at least in that area, to the spiritual idea. So let's go back and see the implications divinely for us. We have an infinite self-contained matrix that is giving unto every facet of itself expression. But it's giving it the entirety of what it is. And that's a holograph. A holograph says that every part contains the entire program of the whole. So therefore, each idea that we are talking about before is a hologram and contains the program of the entire matrix. And so therefore, one could explain this law very simply by saying, well, it holographs itself. And so therefore, if one understands the term, it simplifies everything immediately to recognize that the divine infinite being has the ability to holograph, which means it has the ability to provide every aspect of its being with the whole and to keep it and preserve it there. Very simple.